I'm sure that you are all aware that this year we celebrate the 400th anniversary of the printing of the King James Authorized Bible. This Bible has stood the test of time. It is the authoritative word of God that has gone out throughout all nations. This Bible has been favored to many people in many places at many times. The Lord especially put his blessing upon this Bible, but it is the only Bible that has been found acceptable throughout the whole world. Whether in England, where it was first translated and printed, or in Europe, or in America, or in Asia, or Canada, or Africa, this Bible has been blessed, I say, to many. And when this Bible has its preeminence, as it were, it gathers, as it were, the blessing of Almighty God. And the lands that have upheld it and treasured it have been truly blessed indeed. But we live in very solemn and dark days. And this Bible is not now found acceptable to all people. For there have been hundreds of new and different and unauthorized translations of the Word of God. This has brought confusion. It has brought unbelief. And sadly to say, the greatest error of all, it has brought God down and raised man up. What a favor to have a Bible which we can say is the Word of God. Not parts of it, but from Genesis chapter 1 to Revelation chapter 22, this is the word of God to us. It lays upon my spirit this morning to speak to you, and this text I take from Ezekiel chapter 11 and the middle clause of verse 5. Ezekiel 11, the middle clause of verse 5, thus saith the Lord. The whole verse reads, and the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me, and said unto me, speak. Thus saith the Lord. Thus have ye said, O house of Israel, for I know the things that come into your mind, every one of them. Thus saith the Lord. And I believe if you were to read through the Old Testament, you would find that my text is repeated something like 400 times. When a thing is repeated, it's repeated for confirmation. It is a word that stands with authority. This is not spoken by man, but rather by the Almighty God. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And these are the words of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the sovereign Jehovah who sits upon the eternal throne. God's only beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Thus saith the Lord. Is then the word of God that is spoken unto us, and may we especially feel that this is spoken unto us today. For as you have seen the nation decline in these latter years, so have you found the reading of the authorized version a declension. People have turned away to their own shame, because man has a spirit that he wants to do what he wants to do. But he will have things his way. The spirit of the world is so prevalent in the day in which we live that man knows better than God. What a shame. What a shame upon this nation. What a shame upon the nations of the earth who have been so blessed to receive the word of God. But now they despise it, they turn their backs upon it, and they say that we can translate it in the way that we want to translate it. We can make it mean what we want it to mean. And we can so spoil and disrupt the word of God. And I believe the devil, Satan, has been so active in this. But what does the word of God mean anymore? It has lost its authority. And because of this, the blessing of God is not upon this nation anymore. The people have forsaken God, and God has forsaken the country. And until this nation realizes and wakes up to see what a sad and solemn state and condition it is in, then it must further fall into iniquity. And the solemn writing is upon the wall. Meanie tackle, but weighed in the balance and found wanting. But we want to look at these words under certain aspects. Thus saith the Lord is the great truth that God has spoken through the mouths of his holy prophets and his ministers from generation to generation. And I believe this is where the sad decline has come in. That the churches no longer rest upon a thus saith the Lord. Because the ministers are not sent of God. Ezekiel had to contend with this in his day, as did Jeremiah and other of the prophets. That there were false prophets, those that believed other things. And Elijah also contended with this great evil, with the prophets of Baal that stood in multitudes against him, and he only was left. But he said, if God be God, then serve him. If not, then serve your idols. Who are we going to serve today? Are we going to serve God? Or are we going to serve idols? Now, to be a true minister, one has to be called of God. A person does not put himself in the ministry. And I say this is why the churches have so declined, that through education or through desire, men have put themselves in a position that they never ought to be in. They have not the authority of God to speak in God's name. Unless we are the Lord's messengers in the Lord's message unto the people, then what are we? Why would you come and hear a man give his own opinion, or set forth his own way, or pervert or twist, or destroy the scriptures before you? No, this is the first thing that is needed, that the minister be chosen of God, that he has a calling to the work. The Apostle Paul had that definite calling. The Lord who took him out of his mother's womb, who renewed him, so that he was born again of the Spirit of God, commissioned him, sent him forth with a thus saith the Lord. And Paul's ministry was with divine authority. And there were those that fell down before it and listened and hearkened. Not because of the man. He speaks of himself in diminutive terms, that he was nothing, that he was but small. He was contemptible in the eyes of many. But the Lord wonderfully used him and used his ministry to the saving of many souls. Now, if we cannot speak with the thus saith the Lord, then it is better that we do not speak at all. It's not an easy thing, of course, for a man to preach the gospel when he realizes his own foolishness and weakness. But he comes in dependence upon his God, that God will equip him and grant him all that he stands in need of to bring forth a message unto the people. Why have we come to the house of God today? What is the purpose of hearing the preaching of the gospel? Is it because we enjoy the eloquence of man, or the way in which he speaks, or his tone or accent? Then what a worthless exercise is ours. Have we not come to hear what God will say unto us? Now, no minister is infallible. We are all but sinful creatures. And God hath chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. It needs a sinner to speak to sinners, to speak of what the Lord has done, and how wonderful are his mighty works unto the children of men. The word of the Lord then is sent through the ministry. And yet, the minister is nothing. The word of God is everything. And so where the ministry has of us saith the Lord, then it's something that we should hearken unto. You see, if we do not believe the minister is sent of God, if we do not believe what he speaks is the truth, then we shouldn't hear him. We should shut our ears to what is spoken. And in many churches, sadly today, there will be ministers standing in pulpits who are speaking a lie. These are nothing but the messengers of Satan. They are not chosen of God, they are not sent of God, and they preach a false prophecy. And yet, countless numbers gather around them, because they are attracted by their ways. But how much better to come and believe that the man is sent of God, and that God enables him to speak a message which we can both hear and receive. And woe unto us if God, having sent his servants to preach the gospel, we do not hearken unto their voice, but we say, no, we will walk in our own ways. We will not listen to what God will say. Well, these can expect eternal doom. Thus saith the Lord. It's the only word upon which a church can stand. Thus saith the Lord. And this is why, again, so many churches have gone astray. They sought out their own inventions. They've devised things of their own ways. They had not hearkened to what God has said. No, we will worship God in the way we want to worship God. Now, some will stand upon tradition. But we've always done it this way. Well, tradition is good if it's good tradition. But tradition for tradition's sake is a great snare. Or some will say, Mr. So-and-so said this, and therefore we believe what he said. The church is not far from us, where they believe in what someone said 100 or so years ago. Men would rather believe a lie than believe the truth. And that is a solemn thing concerning tradition. But because it has been, it must always be. Look at the Church of Rome. Look how quickly it departed from the truth. Look how the popes have stood up and made declarations which have been set in stone, which have become law in the church. And because they said it and did it, then we must follow their pattern. This is nothing but plain idolatry. People looking to something other than God. And that's what idolatry is. It's looking to something or someone other than God. Putting something or someone in God's place. And this is what tradition so often does. It rests upon some man's opinion, whether it was right or wrong, of many years ago, and still they believe it. They do not commit it to the word of God. It's not, thus saith the Lord. And then we have modernism. Modernism says we must do things differently in this our day. We must worship God in a way that we've never worshipped him before. They seem to consider that God requires something different from what he has set down. And so introduce the musical instruments, the guitars and the drums. Introduce the dance. Take away the pews and put in seats which can be moved so that the people can be entertained. All kinds of things go on in the name of religion. But do they bear a thus saith the Lord? Is God's blessing upon it? No, the devil has been truly active in our generation in seeking to destroy. And you see, in many of these churches today, you will find that the preaching of the gospel is not the center of the service. It's not the main area to which people are directed. No other things come in and take its place. And of course, the ministry then is reduced and seen as not so important, and these other things have taken their place. Vain man, foolish man, he just follows like a sheep. He just follows on regardless, whatever, not knowing that his end will be destruction. Modern Bibles have led to modern ways. Modern ways have led religion into the world, so that you can hardly distinguish now between the church and the world. You see, if you want entertainment, you can go to the concert hall. And if your conscience allows you to listen to a piece of fine music being played, that's one thing. But when you come to the church, you come to worship God. That is the point, that is the purpose of our coming into the sanctuary. It is to worship our great God. The feeling is today, we've got to be happy. Make the people happy. Gather them together. And of course these churches abound. They grow more and more. They attract more and more people. And why shouldn't people go to church? Because there are no distinctives there. There's nothing to offend them. There's nothing to put them to the test. All they have is a happy entertainment. And therewith they're content. They go happy, they come away happy. And another day passes on. But thus said the Lord, is the foundation of our worship. The pattern, if we may call it that, was laid down in the Old Testament scriptures. A pattern that was given to the children of Israel, a type of the church. And each part of that pattern had a thus saith the Lord written against it. Now the New Testament hasn't come in to destroy that, but to reaffirm it. And the Lord Jesus Christ lived according to that pattern. And the apostles lived according to that pattern. They saw that God was a God that cannot change, that he stood continually the same. And therefore, they were to serve and follow him in the way that he had so designated that they should worship him. What are we saying? Effectively, we're saying that for the most part, that the church has gone into the world and the candlestick has been removed forever. And so it reflects in society. You know, when the church was strong, living upon of us, saith the Lord, then the community was strong, society at large was strong, the nation was strong, one nation under God. Shouldn't that be the great cry today? Shouldn't that be the rallying of the people? One nation under God, one nation that can say, thus saith the Lord, this is our pattern, this is how we will live, this is what we will do. This will not give us any license to err against God's word. but it's because God's word has been despised and rejected of men that the nation has fallen away. And we see a nation really that is in turmoil, a nation that is in great crisis. And will it get better? No, not until man recognizes that God is to be obeyed. And so we are all accountable in that sense. God has given us his word. We are to obey it. We are to walk it out. So then, adultery. Blasphemy, homosexuality, abortion, euthanasia. How can these things have a standing in a nation like this? It is, and I reaffirm it, because the nation has forsaken God. And it starts right here in the church. It starts with the ministry of the word. If the church was strong, then the nation would be strong. If the church believed what God has said, then the community would be strong and blessed of God. Oh, can we wonder? We have seen in recent years things come upon this nation which ought to have stirred up the people and brought them on their knees in holy contrition before Almighty God. But man may be moved for a moment, and then how quickly is his heart hardened again. And these laws that have been introduced, which make acceptable things which in the word of God are called an abomination, and that is an exceedingly strong word, an abomination in the sight of God, these things have become allowable by the law of the land. But the leaders of the nations have so given way to promiscuity of all types and things. Look what Ezekiel saw in vision. Moreover, the Spirit lifted me up and brought me unto the east gate of the Lord's house, and looketh eastward. And behold, at the door of the gate, 25 men, among whom I saw Jezaniah the son of Azar and Pelatiah the son of Benaiah, princes of the people. Then said he unto me, Son of man, these are the men that devise mischief and give wicked counsel in the city. The Lord here could be speaking today. He could be speaking of our leaders that do wickedly, that speak wickedly, that lead the nation into wickedness. Or if only the churches had in former times, and perhaps we need to go back more than 100 years, when the rock first set in, when men began to be pleasers of self rather than lovers of God. Thus saith the Lord. Should not this be our motto? Should not this be our standard? What does the word of God speak unto us? What does it say? We are to live by it. We are to die by it. And if we live and die by a thus saith the Lord, we will not only receive the blessing now, but enter into a blessed eternity there with God. But those that mock true religion, those who turn aside from the truth, those who devise their own fables and introduce all manner of things that God has not required of them, these are an abomination to him. And those things which are an abomination are only fit to be cast out as worthless. Thus saith the Lord. We need to bring this to a more personal application. Thus saith the Lord. Do we believe, personally, individually, the truth of God's word? We hear it spoken unto us week by week. Do we really believe it? Well, if we believed it, we would act upon it. We would own and confess the name of God. Now, sadly, people tend to think that they need visions, they need revelations, they need dreams, they need apparitions, they need all kinds of things to follow God. But you know, really, to follow God is to follow him in his word. To be enabled to say, I believe in God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I believe in God's church that he has anointed throughout all generations. I believe in the doctrines of God's holy word and all that he has said. And these things have set me apart from so many in the world today. So many of my relations and friends and people I esteemed once upon a time. Now I cannot live as they live. I cannot do as they do. My whole desire is to live according to a thus saith the Lord. The divine authority which God gives unto his people. Then seek no more for fanciful things. Seek faith to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. To be a follower of Jesus is to be a follower of the word of God. It is to hear a thus saith the Lord spoken to our hearts and to receive it in the very truth of it. That means that we believe the whole Bible. We believe as we are given light upon certain truths. Now, not every man has all the truth. Indeed, not any man can claim perfection. Man must live up to the light that he is given. We're spoken of as being Calvinists. That means followers of Calvin. And we as a church have often been wrongly or rightly perhaps described as hyper-Calvinists. The word hyper means to go beyond. Now, Calvin was a godly man. And he has laid down great doctrine, which has again lived for year after year. But Calvin only came to certain light. When you think of what he was as a Roman Catholic priest and how he moved away, think of people like Luther and Zwingli and many others. These moved a tremendous amount away from Catholicism. But they didn't move all the way. So in following generations, people were given more light, to see more truth, to believe more things. Who could see that the stamp was written upon it, the authority was given, thus saith the Lord. And so what we do by way of practice should always have that stamp upon it. We should always follow our conscience as it is directed to the Word of God. And there we see the authority for what we do. Now, of course, man is not perfect. We are not perfect. And those who have put on an open profession of faith are not perfect. There is such a thing as a Christian falling away. David knew that. Peter knew that. Others have known it. Perhaps we've all known it. A time when we've fallen away. But a Christian, if he is a true Christian, will fall away for but a season. And must be restored again. You see, when the truth is pointed out to him, what a difference it makes. Eli was a godly man, but he did not act rightly concerning his children. And this may be a warning to all parents. He allowed his children to walk in contradiction to God, so that his children were called the sons of Belial. And because of that, a warning was given unto Eli. And Eli trembled. Eli might have found excuses as to why he couldn't control his children, where he had gone wrong, and seek advice of what to do. But when it came with the thus saith the Lord, this man trembled from head to foot, because he knew that he was in the wrong. David was given the parable of the ewe lamb. And David was angry at the parable. And Nathan the prophet said, "Thou art the man." But he continued, "Thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not die." You see, there is mercy here. Mercy and judgment. God's judgment upon sin, God's mercy toward his people. And those that are backslidden and gone astray will come by conscience to know, thus saith the Lord. And how can their conscience allow them to walk contrary to the word of God? Of course, if they're true Christians, they cannot. They may for a season, but then they will be revived again and given strength so to fulfill that word of God. And if not, we must wonder at their Christianity. We must wonder whether they were really born of the Spirit of God. If after having been told, they can still walk against the mind and will of God, then where are they and what are they? Thus saith the Lord. You see, these words are confirmed. The beginning of the verse, he says, "And the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me." The Spirit of the Lord fell upon me. He was led of the Spirit thus to speak. and said unto me, speak. He wasn't to withhold his voice. Whatever the difficulty of the situation, whatever the perverseness of the people, whatever sin they were relishing at that time, he was to speak and to speak boldly, thus said the Lord. Now sadly this authority has gone. In the day in which we live, no one regards the word of God as being authoritative to them or to anyone. People can come and go as they please without any thought of what it means. Or is this a challenge to us today? Does this find us out? Are we in some way walking contrary to the word and will of God? After having received through his holy word, thus saith the Lord. Remember how God spake in the beginning. He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. This universe is being upheld by the hand of God, by the word of God, by the word of his power. And the Lord Jesus Christ is that eternal word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Now people like to try and separate or distinguish between Christ and the Father. The Father is that austere judge. That Christ brings the moderate way of religion to the people. But Christ and the Father are one. God is an unchangeable God. He spake in the beginning. And Christ shall have the last word. His judgment will be upon all men. Thus saith the Lord. Or that only these words would be applied with divine power by the blessed Spirit of God to each one of you that hears this day. That you might know the importance of the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, which have been handed down through the generations to you. New parents, are you going to hand this word of God down to your children? Are you going to tell them that this is the word of God to us, that we must obey the Bible? We must follow God's commands. We must do all that is within our power to obey his holy precepts. Thus saith the Lord, there is our authority. And these words will stand forever and ever. He has magnified his word above his name. Amazing. The place of preeminence in which God has put his holy word. Now, we know that it is appointed unto man once to die. We are all aware that each generation follows another into the grave. We know that except the Lord Jesus Christ come again, we shall all die and be laid in the grave. But how are we to lay there? If we live under the authority of God's word, then we can die happy in the knowledge that thus saith the Lord, it is well with your souls. And these words will be of great encouragement to us. They are the foundation upon which alone we can build. If we have a thus saith the Lord for our religion and for our walk of life, if this is our testimony, then it is well. Whatever we do, we will come short in. We are but poor and fickle creatures at best. But if our desire and our longing is to walk according to what God has revealed unto man in his word, if that stamp is upon it, thus saith the Lord, then it is good. We need not fear what the future holds. Our enemies may come against us. Yes, there will be enemies in this world. The Canaanite is still in the land. They will rise up at times against us and come in with all their false notions and promotions. But we have to withstand them. The Apostle Paul, in the 6th chapter of the Epistle to the Ephesians, says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Here is our defense. Every article that he mentions there are defensive articles, except this one. He singles out the sword of the Spirit, that two-edged sword that cuts asunder, that separates between the precious and the vile, between the godly and the ungodly, between those that walk according to God's word and those that walk according to their own goodwill. You see, the spirit of this age is, I want. I want to do this, I want to do that. And the church has taken up this as their symbol. I want to do something different today. I want to amuse the people. I want to entertain them. I want to crack jokes that they may laugh and be happy and be joyful in their religion. But what is their religion? It is an accursed religion. Because it doesn't have that stamp and mark upon it. It has no, thus saith the Lord. Oh, we may be but a few despised people. But one thing is on our side. And I truly believe this, or else I would not be here standing before you today. I believe what we have before us is the truth. And that we need to hold fast to that truth. Never to let it go. God so helping us. Because this is the only way our souls will be saved at last. And then it won't be a false happiness. It will be a true happiness. You know, these churches think that they're happy until some contention or some trial comes among them. There was a church in a village where one of our chapels is, and it was a great hindrance to our people getting to the chapel. A charismatic church, and hundreds of cars came and blocked up all the little lanes that there are in England. And for a time they had great difficulty. And the minister told me that on one Sunday, he drove down and there wasn't a car in sight. And he wondered what it meant. Well, the church had had a big argument. There had been a big disagreement among them. And the church completely dispersed and never met again. The false church will never stand. But we stand upon the word of God. We stand upon a thus saith the Lord, and therefore we shall stand undaunted forever and ever. May the Lord bless these few remarks to his name's sake. Amen.